In our Sunday school class this morning, I made reference to this song, the title of which you see on the screen, Find Us Faithful. The song was written by John Moore. It's attributed many times to Stephen Green because he sang it, recorded it. As I said this morning, it has become a popular song in the chorus only. The rest of the song is a little bit difficult. The arrangement is kind of hard to sing. And in fact, the paperless hymnal includes this song as just the chorus. There is a version that slides of the entire song, and then there is a separate slide of just the chorus only. And so many people use the chorus by itself. And the words of the chorus lend themselves to a study such as this one this evening. I'd like to use these words as the basis for our discussion as we continue our thoughts on the matter of commitment to faithfulness. The song says, the chorus of the song says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." Those words bring to mind several things, some of which we talked about this morning in the Sunday school class that have to do with funerals and people dying and things that remind us of certain things and memories. And those things that linger on after we have lived our lives and passed on to our eternal reward. The principle of influence, and especially living our lives so as to influence those around us, is a very, very biblical concept. You cannot study the Scriptures. In fact, it could be argued that even the Old Testament, Old and New Testament, both are filled with examples and statements and teachings concerning the principles involved in the fact that God intends for us to lead others with our lives. As we think about the lives that we are living now, the question should come to each mind: will those who come behind me find me faithful? As I said, I'd like to use these lines from the song to form our basic outline that we'll talk about and then look at two or three scriptures as we close. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Do you know who that includes? All who come behind us. All of those who will follow us, all of those who will observe us while we are alive, and then who will remember our record after we have died. Certainly our children. No surprise to any of you that after my dad's death in the end of 2016, I am constantly thinking about Dad and some of the things that he did and the things that he would say and those things that were so helpful to me along the way. And often I find myself wishing that I could just talk to Dad one more time, call him up and talk about a sermon problem or a church situation. Because that's what we did. It's very interesting also, as we've spent the last couple of years going through all of Dad's stuff and dealing with it appropriately and That means a lot of it found its way to my house, and especially in my study. It's a rare day indeed when I do not come across or pick up a book that had belonged to Dad and enjoy some of the notes that I find written there. In fact, this little New Testament that I've used now for several months is one that he used, one that he always wrote notes in. And in the beginning of every single New Testament of his that I have found, there was a handwritten note inside the flyleaf that says, "Divine purpose supports the writing of every word." Divine purpose supports the writing of every word. A reference to the word-for-word inspiration of the Bible. You and I are very familiar with this principle of how our children will follow in our footsteps, or at least observe the way that we have lived. And hopefully, if our lives have been a positive situation, spiritually speaking, then they will follow our example. But the fact is, our children will be among those who come behind us. There are many of you here this evening within the sound of my voice whose spouses have preceded you in death. You know very well, far better than the rest of us, how influential a spouse can be even after he or she has passed away. Our husbands and wives will be among those who come behind us. Our friends, those people that we associate with, people that we see casually, people that we spend our spare time with, people that we enjoy hobbies with, the sporting and other things that we enjoy doing, those folks are among those who will come behind us. Co-workers, the people that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis, that we perhaps do not even know very much about them personally, but they are among those who will come behind us. May they find us faithful. The mailman, the girl at the store. On and on we could go, noting those who will come behind us. May they find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. The question came to mind as I prepared these remarks: what is your light? What is your light that you are shining as you live? Is it your devotion to God? Is it your devotion to the truth of God's Word? Is it your devotion to the body of Christ of which you are a member? Is that the light that will light their way? There are many things about all of our lives that will be observed by those who come behind us that will serve as things that will encourage them. Children will be encouraged sometimes to follow in the same work path of a father or a mother. They will notice and appreciate and join in some of the same likes and dislikes. Your favorite football team may be passed down for several generations. But is it the fire of your devotion that will serve as the brightest light for their way? Again, what is your light? And then the writer says, may the footprints that we leave cause them to believe. There certainly are many people who believe in spite of the way that their forefathers have lived. It is a sad but a very true situation. There are some who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of the example that was set for them by parents or grandparents or associates. But it cannot be argued that one of the greatest causes for people following after the truth is to see the truth exemplified in the previous generation. May the footprints that we leave cause them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. I know of some families right now, some very real situations, and you do too, where the children, if they ever obey the teaching of the truth, it will not be because of the way that their parents live. One of the strongest encouragements, again, the risk of being repetitious, one of the most effective tools in causing an entire generation to follow the Lord is the life that is lived by the previous generation. Now let's take a couple of minutes and look at two or three passages. First of all, I would direct your attention to Psalm 71. Turn there with me in your Bible. Some people have referred to Psalm 71 as the old people's psalm. I'm not so much on board with that description, but there is a thing or two in here that speaks specifically to old age. But for our discussion this evening, I'd like to notice verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 71. And there David says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. It's not up for debate whether or not we have the responsibility of passing on that which we have known and learned of God's will and God's ways to the next generation. This is one of the two aspects of this matter of being found faithful. The first that we've spent all of our time so far talking about is the effect of our faithful lives on the lives of those who will come behind us. And in this psalm, David, if we assume that David wrote this psalm, the psalmist, at any rate, expresses the prayer to God that passing on what we know to the next generation is important enough that we should be willing to pray that God will spare our lives to give us the fullest opportunity to pass on His will and His ways to all those who come. Now, the next two passages have to do with a different aspect of being found faithful. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 14. In verse 14, we find the beginning of a new paragraph, but obviously from the wording that he uses here in verse 14, we find a reference back to what Peter has just previously said. He's just been talking about the end of time when the world will be destroyed. And the fact that since all of these things are to be destroyed, what sort of people ought you to be in living lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, when the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. And according to his promise, we're waiting and watching for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's not a remodeling of this earth, but that's rather our heavenly reward. And then he says this in verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these," waiting for the new heavens and the new earth, "be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." When the Lord comes, how will he find us? Oh, that he would find us faithful. And then the final passage, 1 John 2, in verse 28. Speaking to the same subject, different writer, but same basic principle. This time John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." Did you know that was in the Bible? Abide in him so that when he appears, we can come before him in confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. How will he find us? Oh, that all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, that when he comes, he will find us ready to go with him in confidence to that heavenly reward. We're going to sing this song as our invitation, extending to those who may need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.